Blog Talk Radio.
Eric?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for being on the show. Where
Thank
is
you
your
for having
practice?
Me.
Where's your office?
Our main office is in Fairfield, New Jersey,
okay.
And we have two satellite offices.
Right. Now, one of them must be in Florida, am I right?
In Florida?
Yeah, only because the issue that you have here, Hurricane Irma, is such a Florida issue right now, so I thought that maybe you had one of your offices there and you were coping.
No, we don't. No, we just thought we would talk about hurricane and bad weather preparedness.
Okay, very, very
good.
We do
not have an office in Florida.
Now, we have listeners who are in Florida and we have listeners who are in Texas. So both of those groups have suffered exactly what you're talking about and a lot of it, okay? So you can feel free to talk about all parts of the country and what people should be looking at. You know, we have different kind of issues. I don't know about you, but I was a Sandy victim.
Okay.
So it really doesn't matter where you are to have this problem. Okay. Now.
Right.
So anyway, you. I think I know the Goldberg Law Firm. Goldberg is a name that there could be a few, but I was one of the Naylor founders, and I think I know some of the names in the field. So you are an elder law attorney, right?
Correct.
And the co-founder of Certified Elder Law Attorneys, or CELA. So that's kind of the second generation Naylor.
A little bit
more recent.
Maybe. I mean, there are only 450. CELAs, but I'm not a co-founder of it, if that's what you're asking me.
Oh, the reason I say that is it's
oh,
in
oh,
your
oh, I'm a co-founder of my law firm.
Oh,
but
okay.
I am a certified elder law attorney, but I did not co-found the CELA designation.
Okay. Very good. So let me just tell you what it says. Yes, so you know, and I'll clean it up. That's what we always talk about. Okay. So this is Goldberg Law Group. And I'm going to ask you if you have an email that you would like, not an email, a website you'd like to send people to. Do you? Okay, good.
Yes.
I'll ask you that. So, Goldberg Law Group, co-founded by certified elder law CELA Eric Goldberg. So what they're saying, I misread it. I read it as you are a co-founder of that. Very, very good. So there are seven steps, right? And do you want to do that? I mean, what we could do is we can go through each of these steps, you know, pretty straightforward. And that would be no problem at all. That would be excellent. The only thing I would like to do, it's a little different, is even though I'm an elder law attorney retired, I don't know that my audience knows what an elder law attorney is.
Right.
Because I don't, this show isn't about that.
I don't mind talking about that.
Right. So I think we should let people know what that is, and we'll get all the seven out. We'll get out where you're going to, where they can find you. And is there anything else that you want me to bring out?
Wait, can you hold on 1 second?
Sure.
All right, I'm sorry. What was that question?
I was saying that in addition to what an elder law attorney is, what where to find you, and the seven things they should be concentrating on. Is there anything else you'd like me to bring out?
Well, you know, what we always talk about is that, elder law is a fairly new field, and it's practiced differently by each elder law firm. And what we feel is that that it needs to be not only about the law, but also about guidance and the aspect of planning for people and guiding them throughout the whole process of aging and long-term care needs.
Right, so that's why it wouldn't be unusual for an attorney to be up and running on how to stay safe in hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes
right.
sense. Right. So that I think that's a really important way to set the stage, okay?
Okay.
Great. All right, so what we do is we're going to start now. It's live to tape. We have about 11 minutes. Then we have a break.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're off. They put in the commercials, and we go on for about 8 minutes. And I will be teasing the second guest, you know, a little bit at the beginning. You'll hear music, and I'll introduce you. Now, in the only little trick here is at the end of each segment, they start to play music. Usually, since I keep the time, I'm talking at that time, and it won't come up against you. But should you hear
mm-hmm.
music at the end of a segment, just finish your sentence. That's all, because what will happen is very quickly after that music starts, we're out. So you finish the sentence, I'll tease to the next. I'll then speak over the music, and we'll be out. But if you hear it, just finish your sentence. 9 times out of 10,
okay.
you won't. I'll be talking already. Okay?
Okay, I think I understand.
Yeah, we're ready to rock and roll. We just have to be silent for a few seconds.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Maybe he sees hair on his head and not his shoulders because he's in denial. This is not a show that is in denial. This is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. And we tell the truth. And about what? About aging. That word that dare not speak its name. But it's coming up when we talk about Social Security, when we talk about our loved ones, when we talk about caregiving, when we talk about health, when we talk about sexuality, creativity, and art. This is all about living the life you love in the decades ahead. And today, we are focusing on safety in a myriad of ways. We will be speaking with an elder law attorney who's an expert in the field of the psychosocial areas of growing older. Of course, he knows the law. That's the number one aspect of what he brings to the table. But he also says that there are other aspects, one of them being safety, the psychology of someone, and, of course, in this hurricane season, that's all we've been hearing about in the news. You listeners in Texas, you folks in Florida, you know what I'm talking about, but so does everybody else throughout the country. We're going to be talking about hurricane safety with Eric Goldberg, attorney, and then we're going to turn our attention to you snowbirds. You were all writing to me saying, you know, I want to be healthy. I'm moving from one part of the country to another. I'm feeling a little bit unsafe in some of the areas that I have selected years ago to live in. I want to be robust, and I want to be stronger, and we're going to have one of the leading international experts in staying safe and strong on the move to help you out with that. So that is what we're all about. We listen to your questions, and we answer them with the greatest experts available to us. And one of them happens to be Eric Goldberg. Now, Eric is a co-founder of a law firm and is certified elder law attorney. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means. What he's here to share is the steps that you can take to ensure senior safety during hurricanes. And a lot of these steps that he shared with me, you can actually use for many different kinds of weather problems, many different kinds of crises, and to actually raise the awareness of the entire family when it comes to these kinds of situations that may affect an elder. So, Eric, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's just start with a definition. Once in a while, I'll drop the hint that I've been an elder law attorney, no longer practicing. I've lapsed. But you are in the thick of it. So explain to folks, what is an elder law attorney?
Okay, so elder law is a subset of estate planning, but we take estate planning a step further. So in a nutshell, elder law attorneys try to help our clients to avoid the financial devastation of a long-term care need. And we do take that a step further by also guiding them throughout the entire process, because we all know as elder law attorneys that when somebody comes to our table, they don't just have a legal or financial need. They also have a psychological need, a social need, a housing need, family issues, and we're here to solve all of that.
And lately, one of those issues has been their own personal safety. I mean, you hear horror stories
right.
over the past month of people being moved out of assisted living, nursing homes, even hospitals because of the weather, or people just being scared in their home. Now, I will say, I know the statistics from Katrina. More elderly folks perished than any other demographic, and that's kind of logical. But let's see if we can
right.
spit logic in the eye, Eric, and give us a couple of hints and tips for safety during these crisis situations.
Sure, sure. Well, the first obvious action would be to have your loved one, your senior loved one, leave the area as soon as the warning is issued. So with hurricanes, we very often have time. And if you can have them get on a flight, go down there and help them get on a flight, or drive to an area that is not going to be affected by the hurricane, that's obviously ideal. But we also know that many seniors are frail, mentally impaired, cognitively impaired. And so long plane rides and automobile rides very often aren't good for them as well. So if they need to stay where they reside, they should the family members should find a structure that obviously will be very structurally important to them and also have a generator so that they can continue to use whatever services such as air conditioning or heat or any other sort of equipment that needs to be powered by electric.
You know, one of the things you didn't say, you're pretty kind, and that is stubborn. I do know many friends, personal friends, not just clients, who have loved ones in Florida that wouldn't move, and they were very stubborn
mm-hmm.
about it. Some of them actually had to get on a plane and do something about it. Others just suffered through and everything was okay. But, you know, as an elder law attorney, the idea of being entrenched is something you probably deal with a lot, not just in this hurricane or crisis, but even in making a financial decision or sheltering dollars or filling out forms. I mean, how do you
right.
– what's the protocol for that kind of stubbornness? Because caregivers and loving families, they can – honestly, they can spit blood and they won't get anybody to make a change. Got any hints and tips on that one before we go on to some of the other hurricane tips?
Right. And I'm glad you asked about that because it is one of the greatest hurdles we have as elder law attorneys is getting our client to execute the plan. Especially,
yep.
If I may say, the senior gentlemen who were the patriarchs of the family, very often what happens with them is they're very tight-fisted with their money. They're used to being in control. And their children now, who they still see as a little toddler, are telling them that, hey, Dad, I should really be handling the finances now, or you should really be doing this, or you shouldn't be living at home any longer. You shouldn't be caring for Mom any longer because it's bad for your health. And, you know, what we find is on staff we have a client, what we call a client care coordinator, and she's a trained and licensed dementia specialist and geriatric care manager. And my other staff is also trained in all of that area, in all of those areas. So what we find is that when you have an objective third party who's a trained professional, it very often eases that transition from tight-fisted financial responsibility to allowing them to give it up and be able to make the right decisions.
Yeah, and I think that is important for people to understand that elder law, the way Eric Goldberg's firm practices it, is really a team. It's a team effort, and
oh, yes.
It's all different needs. So tell everybody where they can find you if they would like some more information.
Sure. You can find us on the web at www.goldbergplanning.com. Our main office is in Fairfield, New Jersey, and we have satellite offices in Morristown as well as Woodcliff Lake. And our phone number is 973-228-1795.
And I think it's important for our listeners all over the country to know that the Goldberg firm is kind of a model. And what you may want to do is familiarize yourself with how they work so that you can find groups in other parts of the country that are near you that follow a model like that. Now, one part of that model is that Eric is a certified elder law attorney, CELA. So what does that mean? What is the difference between someone who says You're an elder law attorney and a member of CELA.
So a lot of people nowadays are calling themselves elder law attorneys, and they may be coming from other areas of the law, or they dabble in elder law. So to begin with, an elder law attorney, is a true elder law attorney, should be spending most of their time with elder law issues, because they're constantly changing. And you know, there's not only a lot of legal knowledge involved, but a lot of creativity based on experience. And you have to build a team that can support the elder law attorney or the staff. But a certified elder law attorney brings it to the next level. And there's a certain level of education that a certified elder law attorney needs. We must pass a written exam, a six-hour exam. We must have a certain number of hours a month that we devote to elder law, and have referrals from other certified elder law attorneys. So it's a pretty daunting task to become a certified elder law attorney.
And there are CELA members all over the country, but Eric tells me mm-hmm. that maybe about 500, not a ton, given the
right.
issues of elder law that there are. It's very much like this show, Eric. There's one show on aging in the country. I mean, it makes no sense. It should be an
right.
enormous
yeah.
profession, but look for it online. Now, before we take our break, we're going to talk a little bit more about hurricane health, we'll say, if I may say so. I know one of the things we could wrap up for a moment is, what if people need to hire help? Who
mm-hmm.
might they look to for that?
Are you talking about home care?
Yeah, I'm talking about for the hurricane situation specifically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's important when there is a hurricane that we rely on other professionals. And so assisted living facilities and of course, there was a problem with an assisted living facility in Florida. So you want to make sure that assisted living facility has a working generator. And it's probably something that when a loved one is living in Florida or moving in Florida, one of the things that you should look for is a facility in the area. And, you know, before there's a tragedy or a crisis, you should look and make sure that they do have a generator and that it's available for a respite stay in the event that there is a hurricane. Otherwise, home care is also important.
And we're going to talk about home care. I think it's on everyone's mind at this moment. And we're also going to talk about how you can share time with a loved one. Keep them calm. Don't go in. For my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. That was fine. You finished the sentence and we're good.
Okay, great. Yeah, I actually didn't. Yeah.
Well, that was fine the way, I mean, this
okay.
is people used to it from TV. They get cut off all the time. One of the things I want to start again with is how to find you, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to mm-hmm. be asking that again. And then I am
okay.
going to ask about home care. I think it's a very big issue that people have. And in the context of the hurricane, I do want to talk about feeling of isolation, because I think it's one of the most important things on your list of seven, because
mm-hmm.
most of the time, if there's really a problem here, the people are long distance. And,
yes.
you know, if mom is around the corner, you drive over and you get her out, even if she's stubborn. But if they're in Florida or Texas or India, I have had that situation, you really have to be able to use the technology to talk with them. And so let's just talk about how you might use FaceTime and other things in your office, or encourage it,
mm-hmm.
or how you encourage people to keep in communication with their loved ones, or maybe even how your office does. I mean, that's all up to you when I ask the question.
Okay.
Stuart, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
Yes, indeed, we are inappropriate for our age. This is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we talk about aging in all of its aspects, and sometimes we become very appropriate for our age, and that is in a crisis. We pull back, we get scared, we are fearful. And it's wonderful to have someone in our corner. And right now in our corner for this show is Eric Goldberg, and he is an attorney. He is co-founder of the Goldberg Law Group, and he is a certified elder law attorney. Now, in the context of giving hints and tips of what to do in a crisis or in a hurricane situation like we've had in so many parts of the world recently and major issues in Florida and Texas, he's also explaining what is an elder law attorney and what you should be looking for. And in a moment, I will ask him how people can find his organization. But he mentioned something at the end of our first segment, and that was, are people interested in finding a caregiver for the home? Wow. The answer is yes. So, Eric, thanks for sticking with us here. Tell everybody how to find the firm. That's the first thing.
Sure. On the web, we're at www.goldbergplanning.com. Phone number is 973-228-1795. Our corporate office is based in Fairfield, New Jersey, and we have satellite offices in Morristown and Woodcliffe Lake.
Right, and let's remember that Eric is a member of Certified Elder Law Attorneys. CELA, you can look that up if you are in an area where you're not quite sure who is really a professional in the field. Now, at the end of the last segment, Eric, we were talking about getting help, making sure that assisted livings have generators, even, you know, people look at the food and they look at the chandelier, but lately they should be looking when they go into these residences, what happens, what is their crisis planning. So that's an important new point that I think is we're becoming aware of. But let's talk about the home for a minute. One of the biggest issues every family caregiver has, and elder, is who to allow into their home, how to find a good caregiver for the home. And, of course, that person may end up being the point person in a crisis. So, as an elder law attorney, what do you see and what do you suggest?
All right, that's a great question because we deal with it on a daily basis.
Sure.
And what we find is that a lot of people come to us using home care privately. They pay under the table, and they do so for obvious purposes because it saves them money. But what we find is that we'd rather have our clients use home care agencies. Now, home care agencies have a lot of different benefits. So the primary benefits of using a home care agency are that they're insured and bonded. So if something happens to the caregiver in the house or the caregiver is accused of stealing an item from the house, the agency's insurance and bonding company will provide retribution for that. Secondly, in the event that the caregiver is unable to show up or refuses to show up or something happens to them, the agency can quickly replace that individual. And finally, there is a trail of where the money went. And as many people know, when one applies for Medicaid later on, if they do run out of money or if they protected assets, the Department of Social Services is going to ask where this money went. And if it's been taken out of ATMs in cash or paid by check to cash, very often they're going to consider that a gift.
And I'm hoping, I have to ask you this, Eric. I'm hoping, and I haven't heard this, maybe you'll tell me, are agencies training their people in crisis these days? Is there an awareness there?
I missed that, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, are the agencies training their helpers in issues of crisis? Are they becoming aware of this problem? Because there's so many hurricanes, there's so many weather crises. So I'm just a little bit concerned that the people who come into your home are just as afraid as the elder. If they're not trained in what to do during a crisis or even a home fire, it doesn't have to be one of these national events. And I'm just wondering, because as I say, I haven't been hearing that the great large organizations that provide home health care workers are training in the area of crisis. I don't know if you have heard that or how you would suggest a client find out about that.
I agree with you. I'm not hearing that they're being trained in crisis. Very often they're trained in CPR and stabilizing the individual until a health care professional arrives. But they're very often not trained in crisis, especially in New Jersey, where we don't find that there are that we have hurricane and tornado problems. But in Florida, they may be trained, and it's something that I'm going to look into for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because one of the things that you emphasize so much is that the family member themselves share time with the elder. And maybe that's necessary. Let's talk about that for a minute. If the person who is the hired help may not know what to do, the older adult needs to be calmed down and feel that there's somebody around them. So tell us how you would suggest the family member who may not be around the corner help the loved one.
And this is a very difficult situation, especially where the senior is unable to leave, or if they can leave their home, they do go into a facility. FaceTime is possible if they have an iPad available to them, but maybe, and this is in an extreme case, the adult child may have to travel into this danger zone and stay with that individual, or at least hire call Adult Protective Services if they can't get down there to the hurricane zone, and inform Adult Protective Services that there is a vulnerable adult who is alone or who is with a caregiver that that needs to have a trained professional there with them.
You know, Eric, one of the...
It's a very difficult situation.
It is, and one of your seven important things to for people to know and remember is to notify the local authorities. And you don't necessarily only mean the police. You mean adult services. People don't use that enough.
People do not use adult protective services enough. And in some counties, adult protective services isn't as robust a program as it could be, because as you can imagine, there are a lot of adults who are subject to different types of elder abuse, and so they very often they can't investigate everything. So it would be good to just let them know that there is a vulnerable adult there, and hopefully they'll be able to send somebody to help.
Well, one of the things that we appreciate are our experts coming on, like Eric Goldberg of the Goldberg Law Group, giving you some of the insights. Look, there's nothing perfect. As he says, a crisis is a crisis, but if you pre-prepare by looking to see who the folks are in the home that are taking care of an elder, the kind of residences you're putting them in, making sure that you stay on top of it, doing your best to get them out of there if they can do it physically and if they can do it emotionally, these are some of the things that could make the difference, honestly, between life and death. So we thank you so much, Eric, for being with us. And we're going to continue to talk, because there's just so many areas of elder law that we haven't even touched. And I'm embarrassed as an ex-elder law attorney that we've covered so little of this topic. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
You may think that
we'll be back to talk about your safety as you move.
Me,
hopefully, not during a hurricane.
I am happy,
we'll be right back. Thank you
for
talking. Don't go anywhere.
I'm inappropriate for my age.
Okay, they're putting the commercials now for the next guest. So it went very, very well. And there are other topics, tons of them, in this field that I'd love to get you back on to discuss.
Oh, I'd love to come back on.
That would be fun. So I have to hang up. No, you have to hang up. I can't. I go on to the next guest, okay? So I have to be
okay.
You hang up, okay?
Thank you again.
This does go on our website on Wednesday. Gets archived with your, if you want to send a picture or a logo of the firm, it'll be on the front page. And it's heard this Sunday live, but it's in New Jersey, you would use an app, and this BizTalk.
Okay.
It's BIZ. But if you go on generationboldradio.com, it has all the instructions too, okay?
Oh, okay. Thanks again.
Take care. Thank you. Okay. Jeff, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Hiya, Jeff. We're not on the air. We're just talking a little bit together. I just want to be sure. Do you say your last name is Mount? Is that the way you pronounce it? Okay, good.
Yep.
And what is the title you want me to use for you?
You could just say a personal safety expert.
Okay.
A lot of the career is self-defense, physical self-defense, but I think for the topic that I received from the producers that probably go a little broader, just a personal safety expert is fine.
Okay, good. And I'm going to ask you now, do you want the Crave MAGA Worldwide website? Or when I ask for a website, where do you want to
Sure. Yeah, so it's Krav Maga Worldwide.
Krav Maga.
So Krav Maga.
That's what you say.
Yeah, Krav Maga Worldwide is the organization that I'm representing. And, yeah, that would be the best website to put up there.
All right, so it's pretty obvious. We're going to talk about any safety tips for snowbirds. We'll start with that.
Okay.
Krav Maga, I'm going to introduce right off the bat, right?
Okay. Yep.
And say a little bit of words of your personal defense expert. And
yep.
We will talk about Krav Maga. We have two different segments here. And I
okay.
only have one question about Krav Maga because you'll tell everybody about it. And that is
sure.
a lot of my listeners are older.
Yeah.
And they, if they have, and therefore they probably need this more than anybody else. But I do want to talk about the fact of a little bit more brittle bones. I don't want them
sure.
to do this and get hurt while they're doing it because they're not in the military.
Sure.
You know, okay.
So. Right. Yeah. No. And so I'll center on all sorts of good tips and advice and guidance for an older training crowd and how to stay safe and still get the benefits.
Great. All right. I'm ready to rock and roll, but I need
okay.
to tell the producer something, and I want
sure.
you to actually hear it because it may have to
okay.
do with you. Okay. Stuart.
Okay.
I just want to tell you something. In the first segment, there was a small portion where they couldn't hear. And so we have some dead air, very little. Let's say about, you can edit that out, but should I go a little longer with Jeff? Separate segments. All right, good. Then we're good. How many minutes will he have in this first segment? I don't know if you heard that, but we have 11 minutes in this first segment.
Okay.
That's a nice segment. Okay? And 8
Great.
In the second.
Okay.
When you hear music at the end, which you shouldn't, I should be talking, but should you hear it, just finish your sentence at the end.
Okay.
All right, Stu,
Sounds
we're going.
Good.
Now we have to be quiet.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. Inappropriate for my age.
Wow, the show is going and just running away with us, but this is our safety show, and I'm very proud to introduce you to Jeff Mount, and he is a professional that you may never have heard of, this type of professional. He is a personal safety and personal defense expert, and he's going to talk to us about being tough, about boosting our own confidence, about being safe. As snowbirds or when we travel, because we travel more than any other demographic in the entire world, and we travel everywhere because we're always looking for the exotic. He's going to talk to us about how we can actually have a protocol for self-defense through a group called Krav Maga Worldwide and what that can mean to us, and the fact that we really can take on a new caliber of self-defense and strength no matter how old we are. So thank you so much, Jeff, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's jump in. Just, you know, considering our demographic, because this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth. We tell the truth. We know we're not the strongest folks in the world. Give us some safety
sure.
tips if we're traveling or if we're snowbirds and how to really take care of ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of the safety considerations that we give for people of any age, which are particularly relevant to an older crowd, is just your basic self-care. I mean, when you're traveling, it's a little bit easier to get run down, to get tired, to not be on as great of an eating schedule, to just be overloaded with media and with noise and with just like being around large crowds. And so I think one of the first things that we start with is just the idea of making sure and being in touch with how you're doing with your physical rest, with your appetite, and with those types of things. So that you're really operating at your best self and you're taking care of yourself. And so then, you know, God forbid, if anything more dangerous or any type of threat were to present itself, you're going to have a clearer head. You're going to be better equipped to respond. And you know, and the likelihood is that nothing will happen. And so then then you just have a more enjoyable experience all around. But safety pretty much just starts with, we call it an oxygen mask approach, which is you take care of yourself first, and then you're able to make good decisions about everything else.
Now, you know, I have, I'm going to say maybe 20 years ago, watched
sure.
a number of tapes for women on self-defense. And I never did
yeah.
anything about it. I'll tell you the truth, Jeff. It was just, it felt like it wasn't for me. And now 20
right.
years later, I'm thinking about it again. So
right.
tell us a little bit about this. Krav Maga, what an interesting name, worldwide.
Sure.
It's one of the largest self-defense. And how we could maybe rekindle some of our old fantasies about being stronger and giving up the old 1-2. Let's hear
sure.
about it.
Sure. Well, I would say it's not a fantasy at all. In fact, it's very realistic. It's very accessible. So Krav Maga was created in Eastern Europe in the 30s and 40s during World War II, and it was always designed for normal people. It was not designed for, you know, your big, buff, younger Marines or people going...
Yeah, for Schwarzenegger.
No. Yeah, it was actually meant for normal people. It was meant for men and women of any age, any athletic ability, any personality, any temperament. And it was designed to have some basic principles that you can remember under stress. Now, when we're talking about stress, we're not talking about having a busy schedule or a lot to do in a day. We're talking about that very acute stress that everybody feels when they feel as though their life is in danger. And Krav Maga's real genius is that it trains people from all walks of life to make good decisions. And if that's to fight back with punches and kicks and elbows and knees, then we give people very easy, practical ways to do that. And if your answer is to flee or get away from the situation or remove yourself or contact the authorities, then whatever decision an individual will make for their own safety, whether it's to fight or to flee or to ask for help or whatever, they're going to make that decision quicker because they've already run through those scenarios during the training. So really, our safety does start of any age with a mindset that sees that we are worth keeping safe. We're worth putting some effort towards keeping ourselves safe, and that it doesn't require that you be a tough warrior, super athlete, super soldier to be able to actually defend yourself in practical situations.
So I'm going to tell you a little story that you're going to love, but first,
sure.
tell people where they can find Krav Maga, how they can learn about it.
Sure. So anywhere in North America or anywhere else like that, you can go to Krav Maga Worldwide. Their headquarters in West LA and Sherman Oaks in the LA area, that's where the headquarters are. But there are 150 other locations throughout the U.S. and North America. So you just type in your zip code, you'll find the nearest training center, and they'll be able to get you some training right away.
And spell it so that they could go to the web and find it.
Sure, yeah. Krav Maga is it's a Hebrew word, and it means contact combat. It's kind of idiom for hand-to-hand combat. So it's Kravmaga worldwide.com. So KravmagaWorldwide.com.
And this is something you guys can really do. I am personally looking at it because I do travel a lot, and I travel to very exotic places, and I travel alone. And I never want to be held back. I'll tell you a little
yeah.
story, and then we can talk about this issue of self-confidence and what you
yes.
recommend for folks to get a little bit more self-confidence. I had a very, very good friend. She was much older than me. She was German and very, very tall. And in New York City, there is always construction. And there was one of these things where you cannot use the sidewalk, so they squeeze you into a very small space. And going in one direction was she and myself, and the other, she was in her late 70s. The other direction were real thugs. And she knew, and we knew, they were going to do something. And she walked up to them, and this is what she said. Don't even think about it. In this German, deep accent, they turned
yeah.
and they, honest to God, they left. I will never forget
sure.
the scene for all my life. That's what confidence is. So how do we little folks, you know, I'm 5'2".
Sure.
Get that kind of confidence. Is it possible, Jeff?
Absolutely. And I love that story. I'm so glad that you told that, because that demonstrates a very important thing about the mindset of a person who would target somebody who has the perception of being more vulnerable. And we know statistically that older men and women, particularly women, as well as folks that are traveling outside of their culture, outside of their normal living environment, are seen by predators, by bad guys, by thugs who have made a lifestyle of preying upon other people. They're seen as more vulnerable. But what your friend demonstrated so well if she simply postured herself with her body language and with her verbal commands and with her presence, her overall presence, it was clear to those guys that she was not a victim, she was not a target, that she would fight back if it came to it, that she would assert herself in an appropriate manner to keep herself safe. And thugs, bad guys, predators do not want to even worry about that. So it very much starts with mindset. And your friend has and that mindset is just something that you can practice. It's not something innate or something that you're born with. It's something that you can learn, but just by practicing. In fact, in our classes, aside from the physical defenses of punching and kicking, we practice verbal boundary setting exactly like what you just said. So I've worked with a number of people and just practice and construct drills and exercises where the whole goal is to stand up to somebody and say, don't think about it. Don't come any closer. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. And just very assertive and very calm and very confident, drawing that boundary in a manner that somebody who might wish to do you harm is not going to mess with you at that point, because they understand that you're not a victim, you're not a target, and you're not vulnerable in the way that maybe you might have looked from the outside.
Now, everybody knows, Jeff, that we do not take advertising from our folks here as guests. So if I say that this is something unique to look at, this is not for personal gain. This is because I want people to know about it. So I want to read this for a moment. So Krav Maga Worldwide is an industry leader in reality-based self-defense, fitness, and fighting. Reality-based. You know what that means? It means it's realistic. It means it does not expect you to be a power lifter, and then you're going to take these classes. Sure, that's great for those kinds of folks. But this is reality-based, and you'll be able to do it at your level, and that level will rise, you know, maybe slowly, but eventually you'll surprise yourself and surprise others, because it is not just a matter of training physically. It's a matter of mindset. And somebody said to me the other day, the reason not to do something is always the reason to do it. The reason not to do this, it's not in your comfort zone. That's exactly the reason to do it, because it's not in your comfort zone. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that are fascinating to me, like what are some of these moves? That's one thing, not just the psychological, but the physical. And also, we're reality-based here. The fact that sometimes bones are more brittle, can you even get hurt while training and how to train safely? And other non-self-defense hints and tips from Jeff Mount, who is a personal safety expert, as perhaps we travel or become snowbirds. I'll tell you, one of the biggest problems we have, and don't laugh, is we move things because we don't want to grow old. We'll see something in our house, and we will actually pick it up and move it. Could be a rug, it could be a chair, and the next thing you know, we have bad backs. So the way we move is very important. We'll be right back. We will face reality together. Don't go anywhere.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, now they put in some commercials, but when we come back, we'll be in our last segment. I'm going to reintroduce you. You'll give the place where to find the program again. But then we'll go right into, I think in this order, some of the moves. I would just be very fascinated to hear one or two of the physical moves that can be described. And then this issue of not hurting, of not hurting yourself while training, right?
Great.
And any other tips you want to throw in, we'll have time. So we are ready to rock and roll if you are. He's resetting the clock, so we have to give him a second. Anything else that I'm missing that you would like to bring out?
I'm from the D.C. area, and one of my big specialties is training people to travel overseas to foreign countries.
So if you wanted
to touch on that,
I do.
Okay.
Yep. Now we just have to be quiet and wait for him.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, we are ready.
Thank you. may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're here with Jeff Mount, and he is a personal safety, personal defense expert, here to empower you. We've been talking about Krav Maga Worldwide, which is a type of self-defense training. We've been talking about training for safety from a psychological point of view as well. Now, Jeff, let's go to you. Tell us where to find Krav Maga again, and then I want to talk about it from a more physical point of view, which is a couple
sure.
of moves that they might expect to learn, and then after that we'll talk about your travel special. Go ahead.
Great. So Krav Maga Worldwide, you can go on the web and find us at K-R-A-V-M-A-G-A Worldwide, Krav Maga Worldwide, and you can just put in your zip code, and you'll be able to find the nearest location with certified instructors. They've been through a rigorous national training program to make sure that they have all of the levels of expertise that you need for practical, realistic training.
Now, what? Tell me a move. I'm excited now. I want to go, pew, pew, you know.
Sure. Sure. So,
private words, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And Krav Maga training really is something that needs to be seen and felt. But I'll do my best. What we start off with is giving people offensive techniques, because if somebody, Adrienne, were to put their hands on you, the first thing that you would want to do is be able to strike them back and to do some damage to let them know from a physical standpoint that they might be bigger and stronger, but you're going to fight back. So what I would teach you, if you were in the same room as me and we were wearing some workout clothes, I would get you going on a strike that we call our hammer fist. Now that hits with the pinky side of a fist. So if you just imagine making a fist, hitting with the pinky side, and you would actually be rotating your entire body from the tips of your toes all the way up to put all of your body weight into a strike that is very safe. You're not going to hurt your hand doing this the way that you would with a straight punch hitting with your knuckles. It's something you can do under stress when you're scared, when you're panicked perhaps, or when you're out of breath, can do this hammer fist strike over and over and over again to somebody that's much bigger and stronger and possibly more violent. And we would have you doing that at the same time that you're yelling things like get back or stop or get off me. And it would be a very explosive experience for you and for the fact that somebody who's attacking you would just not expect you to fight back so decisively and so aggressively.
You know, I do want to make one disclaimer here. We are talking about somebody who intends to do you violence,
yes.
where you have to be defending yourself. We are not talking at this moment about the hideous issue of rape. There's a lot of theories as to what you do, whether you do defend, you don't defend. It's a whole other world, and I don't want this to be confused. This is a situation, like I have discussed, where we're in the streets or we're traveling in other countries, and we really do need to defend ourselves from a physical attack of some type.
Yes.
Now, let's go back to the fact of our own body safety. You know, one of the worst things that happens to elderly folks is they fall. It is the number one reason people go into emergency rooms. And why? Because their bones are a little bit more brittle. In slamming against somebody else, are we taught how not to hurt ourselves at the same time?
Yes, absolutely. And the creator of Krav Maga, his name was Emi Lichtenfeld, and he actually taught and trained until he was 88 years old. And he is a very special individual, but one of his mantras was, don't get hurt. If you get hurt in the training, you're less able to defend yourself, not more. So the training has to be safe. That hammer fist strike that I described to you, hitting with that pinky side, just like you were swinging a hammer and hammering in a nail, or our knee strikes or any of our kicks, you're using parts of your body that naturally have a great deal of padding and that are not going to do any damage to the striker. It will hopefully only do the damage to the attacker. And 100% of our strikes are designed so that you could do this training aggressively without doing any type of damage to yourself.
So one of the topics I had mentioned in the first part of our show, right now we're speaking with Jeff Mount, And we're talking about ways to defend yourself in general, and specifically a training program called Krav Maga Worldwide. One of the things that I had mentioned is that we are the most traveled generation, and this is continuing to do so. If you ask the AARP survey, they'll tell you that 84% of all retirees say that their number one thing they want to do in life is travel. And you told me during the break, Jeff, that you were in the D.C. area and you actually physically train people for safety in travel. So give us a couple of hints and tips in that area.
Sure. So particularly when you're traveling to a foreign country, it's all about the preparation. I mean, we could train you to defend yourself physically, but hopefully it doesn't get to that. There's some basic steps. The first thing that you would want to do is utilize the U.S. State Department. They're responsible for the safety of U.S. citizens overseas, and they have a Safe Traveler Enrollment Program. It's called STEP, Safe Traveler Enrollment Program. And if you upload your itinerary, it takes about 5 minutes, and you let them know where you're going to be and when you're going to be there and what your travel dates are and your flight plans and things like that, they will actually monitor and send updates to you about possible safety hazards, whether it's a natural disaster or a political protest or some type of crime that's going on in a certain country that you're traveling to. I had a client who was traveling in all around Italy based out of Rome, and we signed her up for this program, and there was a political demonstration that got a little out of hand, and she already knew about it, so she was able to avoid the problem areas and change her itinerary to keep herself safe. And that's something that, the State Department offers. Another thing is just learning a few key phrases, which it's always fun to kind of play with a foreign language, but if you know a few ways to ask for help, that's that many opportunities that you have to avoid a potentially problematic situation. So we always recommend that people know how to ask for help, where the nearest emergency room is, the police, fire department, just learning maybe 5 or 10 key phrases that allow you to ask for help in an emergency if you had to in a foreign country. So those are just a few key things where you could prepare yourself, and you actually end up enjoying it more because then you can relax more because you feel better prepared and you enjoy the time more.
Well, you know, we thank you so much for being on our show. It's one of those shows that just runs away. And I want to thank my listeners, too. If you go to GenerationBoldRadio.com, not only can you hear all of our archives, and not only can you know all the stations that we're on throughout the country, but you can get our free BizTalk app and listen anywhere in the world, even if you're away in Italy. But more importantly, you can go to Ask Adrian and tell us, tell. We have these topics on and these folks on because you said that that's what you want to know about. So if you'll let us know about an item, a person, something in the news, something in your life that you need information on, we'll get it. Meanwhile, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, that was really wonderful.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Okay, I hope this is the kind of thing that you've been doing, I guess, on radio for the organization for, as a spokesperson.
Yeah. I've been doing this with a lot of different demographics, but yeah. I mean, I love allowing people to have the training to help them enjoy their recreation more.
Well, that's great, and it will be heard in some places on Saturday night, other places Sunday morning, and then it's archived, as I said, on Generation Bold Radio. So if you want to send anything to the email address, whether it's a photo, a logo, it'll be on the front page of our website, on the homepage of our website, starting Wednesday. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Very
good. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye.